What a comprehensive title, Awe. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Awe, what a comprehensive title. When we think of awe, we think of everything, the allness that exists in the universe, and it has no beginning, no end. We think of all, and we think of everything. Now, just what is all? How do we want to think about all, and why do we want to think about all? Well, in our finite way of looking at things, we think there is such a variety of possibilities that go on in the universe. Such a variety of possibilities that go on in our mental universe, in our physical universe, in our spiritual universe, if we want to separate them in that way. But there's such a variety of possibilities going on, as they call quantum physics, the physics of possibilities, of the infinite possibilities that the mind can be aware of. And that's what physics, quantum physics, is described as. But what do we describe the all as? Our mind has the ability to comprehend a given number of things at any one moment. And when we enter into a state of meditation, we enter into the ability to comprehend a greater number of ideas, but at the same time, we dismiss virtually all ideas. Because when we are in meditation, we are sort of in the allness. It's as though we're a fish swimming in the ocean, and the ocean being the allness. And as for this fish swimming in the ocean of allness, we are not concerned about whether there are other fish in the ocean. We're not concerned about whether there's water in the ocean. We're not concerned about what constitutes the water, how is it made up. We're not concerned about the way the water moves back and forth. We're not concerned about anything except that we are the fish, and there is the water in which we exist. And so, I am me, and I exist in allness. And I know this allness to the degree I choose to know it, and I am this allness in the degree that I choose to merge myself so totally with it that I cease to have physical existence, I cease to have mental and spiritual existence, and I am one as the allness. We do this in various times of our life, in various ways of our thinking, when we enter into a blissful attitude. When we enter into the state of meditation or the state of deep, deep introspection or bliss, we are merged with the oneness. We cease to be aware of our physical body. We cease to be aware of anything around us, and we are everything. And yet we have no concept of being everything, being all, because when we are all, there is nothing to compare ourselves with. There is nothing to think about ourselves with. There's nothing to think, who are we and where do we stand on this great plethora of infinite beingness? Great idea, isn't it? A great idea to wonder about where do we stand in the universality of allness, in the universality of life. Where is our expression in this all that we are so interested in so many times? Philosophers are the ones who are most interested in all, because a philosopher is the only one who takes the time to meditate upon what all means. A scientist is a person who is rather specific. He deals with specifics, and those are things that he can put his fingers on and understand, or that he can extrapolate from other information to bring forth the concept that he wants to be talking about or to say as a theory for himself. Now, in the spiritual realm, the tendency is to give ourselves over to a spiritual guru, an outside avenue of understanding of that spiritual quality, And we oftentimes want to think of there is a God outside of ourselves that is the essence of all. And yet, we know that within us dwells all knowledge, all beingness. Each one of us is the all center. Each one of us is the complete center. Each one of us knows everything, and we are everything, and we can be everything, aware that we are each little thing as we choose to be it, by just placing our consciousness on that particular thing. But when we want to be all, then we go the other direction. We go from the finite things to the infinite all. And as we enter into the infinite all, we feel a sort of a pleasure. We feel a peacefulness. We feel that there is no great need to know everything, because we are everything. No great need to be aware of what's going on in the world and how things function and why they function that way. We go directly from the thought to the thing. We go directly from whatever thought we think to its completion. There is no in-between stage. There is no journey. There is no path. There is no technique. There is only being or not being. And you cannot not be. I mean, you cannot be because you always are, but you may not be aware that you always are. And the not being that we experience is the not being aware. So, should all be our goal, and should all be an experience that we would like to have, then it's a matter of turning our thought to the concept of all and letting it sort of percolate in our thinking system. And as it percolates, it sort of sends off aromas, it sends off all sorts of spurious ideas that would say, this is not so, or that is limiting, or that is impossible. And all of those ideas go away, and we sort of merge with the one, which is the all, which is our intention. And in the process, we lose all sense of relativity. We lose all sense of caring for other people or being with other people, though our bodies may yet dwell with other people. But we live in this sense of bliss, this sense of awareness of allness. And such a type of person, rare in our experience because we have not chosen to be aware of them, though they're there by the billions, such a type of person is untouched by the world in which it lives. Such a type of person is walking through life untouched by all of the experiences. It may have the experiences itself. It may have the slings and arrows of misfortune that Shakespeare spoke about, but that is not its reality. And it is not touched by it. It is not labored by it. It does not say, gee, that was terrible. It just says, that was a thought that I chose to experience. Now, can you in all, in the all, experience only happiness, peace, joy, harmony, and goodness? Certainly. When you do that, you distance yourself more and more from the relative world, because the relative world seems to want to experience the unhappiness. And the divine, as we might call it, experiences that which is without limitation. All, living in all, gives us the opportunity to move in awareness in such a purity that we can be in the world and not of the world. We can experience what the world experiences or not experience it. We can experience it and be untouched by it, or we can experience it and be touched by it. All these things we do in all. Now, why do I say that in sort of contradiction to what we've just said? Because all is, we are, and we experience these things by whatever choice we make, but in reality, all exists in its absolute pure form, which has no relativity in it. And the relative game we're playing is a delightful game. But as we turn to awareness of the all, the relative game no longer ceases to have any significance for us. To be the all, to be aware of the all which we are, is a delightful journey, a delightful experience. And the journey is so fantastic, so quick, that you don't even know you're taking it. You are being there. And when you're being there, you feel that there is no journey. And in truth, there is no journey. All is, I am. All is, I am all. Interesting concept, huh? It sort of sets our mind to thinking just a little bit, and that's wonderful. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.